This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
We're talking about the United States Fire Administration, a unique agency within FEMA, I believe, and within Department of Homeland Security that focuses in on kind of fire prevention, how to new ways to tackle fires, new ways to combat fire. You know, fire is one of the deadliest instruments in our society, and we're going to talk about that today. I have in the studio with me Glenn A. Gaines. He's an acting U.S. Fire Administrator. I've been calling him Chief Gaines, but he's an acting U.S. Fire Administrator in charge of the United States Fire Administration. Welcome, Chief Gaines. How you doing?
Thank you. Doing terrific. Thank you for having me.
Talk to us. I mean, I don't necessarily know if a lot of people know about the United States Fire Administration. And you know, when I first saw it, I was like, wow, this guy's a unique agency. You know, you guys got some unique stuff going on. Tell us about the agency. What do you guys do?
Well, the agency was created back in 1972 by actually President Nixon signed a declaration to organize and create the U.S. Fire Administration. At that point, we were experiencing 6,000 fire deaths every year and 30,000 fire injuries. In fact, it continues today that fire is the number one cause of accidental death, more than all natural and man-made disasters every year, including 2001 and 9/11. So the agency was created to really do four things. First, begin to analyze and collect data on this national fire problem. What are the root causes of fire? Where do they occur? And then begin to develop best practices programs to prevent and if not prevent, mitigate the damage and of these fires. And then reduce the number of casualties. The other piece is, of course, public education and information. So inform the public of these best practices and do that through creating partnerships with the American Fire Service. There are actually 1.3 million firefighters out there, and
okay,
those are the folks we reach. The next, third piece is create a national fire academy where we train and professionally develop the next generation of fire and EMS leaders. And we do that in a variety of ways through the internet and through hosting on campus up in Emmitsburg, Maryland, over 8,000 fire mid-level and upper mid-level leaders there at the National Fire Academy. So that's essentially what we do. The last piece is research in terms of technology and in terms of studies. We do that through universities, several, including University of Maryland right here.
Right.
A study.
They have a kind of whole fire institute or something like that at University of Maryland, right?
The Maryland Fire and Rescue Institute we have partnered with to study firefighter injuries, chronic disease, and also new technology to monitor firefighters when they're engaged in firefighting operations.
You know, I'm going to take it from there and then kind of walk back up. In terms of technology, and you've been doing firefighting, and I want to talk about your career because you got into firefighting. I don't want to date you, Chief, but you got into firefighting back when?
Well, you know, actually, I worked 37 years in Fairfax County, so I actually joined as a firefighter in 1964. I was a relatively young man. And worked up the ranks, started as a volunteer, then went to work in Fairfax. I was born, raised, educated, and employed by Fairfax County.
Okay.
Ending my last 8 years as fire chief in Fairfax County during the 90s. I then went to work for FEMA in the grant program to provide guidance and develop the Assistance of Firefighters grant program, which helps fire fire departments across the country. And then about 18 months ago, I was appointed as the deputy director, deputy fire administrator for the U.S. Fire Administration, and I am currently serving as the acting U.S. Fire Administrator.
Wow. You know, you've been in the business a long time, you know, in terms of technology. And since your agency is kind of in charge of kind of looking at technology, partnering with universities to kind of include new technology to maybe prevent firefighters from getting injured and maybe, you know, put out fire, suppress fires a lot more quicker. What changes have you seen, and what are maybe some of the new developments that you guys are working on, that your agency is working on in terms of technology? What can we see in the future in terms of fire suppression and maybe keeping firefighters alive?
Well, there are really three issues. When you look at firefighters, and they are probably one of the most at-risk populations, work populations out there. There are really three issues. First is chronic disease. We have to remember that we are immersing these humans in products of combustion which are full of carcinogens. And so we see cancer rates are higher. We also see, because of the stress of firefighting and emergency work, heart conditions. And so we are studying the causative factors and what are some of the best practices to get at that those particular issues. One of them, of course, is ensure that we bundle them up properly and provide protective equipment. The other is in terms of chronic disease, you know, what your mother told you is that let's get a physical every year.
Right, sure.
And so good monitoring. But there's also
do you find, Chief, and you've been in the business for a while, do you find that firefighters are so focused in on protecting the public that sometimes they forget about themselves? I mean, that they don't, you know, take care of their own kind of personal well-being because they're so focused on emergency rescue scenarios and everything else?
Well, they are. You know, you basically have to have a good organization, disciplined group of people who recognize. I think, first of all, our job as leaders is to make them aware of the dangers and hazards of this profession. So certainly we do that through a variety of ways, working with the fire departments, especially the metropolitan fire departments, such as we have here in Washington, D.C. Those are the most at-risk firefighters because they have actually 71% of all fires, all fire fatalities, all casualties occur in urban areas. So those are the high at-risk populations. So that's something we're concerned with. But in terms of technology, we're also looking at residential sprinklers and encouraging the adoption of residential sprinkler systems and the use of better smoke alarms. You are less likely to die from a fire in your home if you by 50% if you have a smoke alarm. You're 82% less likely to die from a fire in your home if we couple residential sprinklers and smoke alarms. And so we are a proponent of that. And I think in terms of technology, we supported legislation that required residential sprinklers, but along with that, that is a mitigation strategy. You know, the best fire is the one that never happens. So in terms of prevention, the number one cause of fatal fires in this country is smoking.
Hmm. Still, even after all this kind of anti-smoking campaigns and everything else, that's still the number
still
one.
Still number one. And the material ignited is usually upholstered furniture or a mattress.
And it's still like people falling asleep while they're smoking or something like
right.
that.
Don't smoke in bed.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, if you're going to drink alcohol, it's really best not to smoke also. And we find that the scenario is the person is under the influence of alcohol or other substances. They drift off asleep and it ignites the furniture. The important piece here in terms of technology, though, is that we have supported legislation, and all 50 states now have adopted legislation to require fire-safe cigarettes. They're really, I think the industry prefers to use, they have a resistance to ignition.
Hmm. So you mean like if the cigarette drops on the ground, it will just automatically kind of...
Basically what has happened, they install ribs in there, and if you don't puff on the cigarette, it'll go out automatically.
Okay.
We don't know what the impact is going to be. Some have prognosticated that it will reduce the number of fire deaths by up to 60%, and we hope that's the case.
Okay.
We'll be monitoring that closely.
Is that going to be, is that going to be something that's going to be law, or that's something that you guys are working with maybe the tobacco industry to kind of say, please start doing this to all cigarettes? I mean, people are going to smoke, here are the fire safe cigarettes.
It's law.
It's going to be law.
It's law, here in this country. And it is law also throughout Canada. I believe there may be one province that has not adopted that law yet. I think they've adopted it, but it hasn't taken effect yet.
We're going to take a quick break, Chief, and then we'll come back and want to keep on talking about what else you guys do in terms of public education, in terms of the training and everything else. We're talking about fire today on Fed Access. We're talking about the United States Fire Administration. I have with me, I call him Chief Gaines, but he's the acting U.S. Administrator of the United States Fire Administration. And we're talking about all the things they do and how can we prevent fires, or maybe how can we stop the fatalities of fires in this country and worldwide. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. George on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Babies will do everything they can to keep you from sleeping. And they'll do this for well over a year. They'll throw up on your sweater, in your hair, and all over your car. They'll not only poop in their pants, they'll poop on your pants. They'll pull your hair and quite literally bite the hand that feeds them. They will talk nonstop between the ages of 6 and 9, but they won't say a single word to you once they turn 13. And when they do, it'll likely involve disagreeing at rather high volumes. Still, you will love them like nothing else, and you will do anything and everything you can to keep them happy and healthy, and so will we. At Kaiser Permanente, we offer families the tools they need to grow up and grow old together, from prenatal care to postnatal care to pediatric care and beyond. Because although there's nothing that makes us crazier than our kids, there's nothing that makes us happier either. Kaiser Permanente, may your family live long and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Hi, this is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, October 19th at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. Our program this month will focus on identity management efforts in the federal government. The panel includes government leaders from the Department of Defense, FAA, and GSA. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, October 19th at 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by HP, SafeNet, and UMUC.
HalfPriceDC.com. Half Price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy Half Price gift certificates to Piero's Corner in Herndon. Stop by for lunch and enjoy their endless pasta and salad bowl for only $7.99.
Bangkok Blues, Virginia's blues club restaurant with live music nightly. And Cafe Italia in Crystal City. Authentic Italian dishes and a great family ambiance.
See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The European Council on Foreign Relations says the European Union has to establish a three-way dialogue with Russia and Turkey to deal with conflicts and promote stability on its eastern flank. The study says the current system failed to prevent wars in Kosovo and Georgia or a disruption to Europe's gas supply. The study also said Russian, German, and French leaders were moving in the right direction, but the wrong participants were involved. I'm J.J. Green.
Can you imagine the frustration of trying to repair a $1 million piece of equipment, only to discover the part you need cannot be found anywhere because the manufacturer no longer exists? At Airink, they have the ability to recreate the most complicated part down to its smallest component, keeping that expensive piece of equipment running as if it was brand new. For more information, log on to www.arinc.com.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune into In-Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a first-hand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In-Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government. government talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In-Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In-Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And we're talking about the United States Fire Administration. It's a department under the Federal Emergency Management Agency under the Department of Homeland Security. They do some interesting stuff in terms of fire prevention, in terms of training, in terms of developing new technology to suppress and prevent fires. I have in the studio with me, I have the acting U.S. Fire Administrator. He's Glenn A. Gaines. I call him Chief Gaines, and he's with me in the studio talking about this. Chief, over the break, we were having some real interesting conversations, and we were kind of talking about the new technology, and you were talking about the baby boomers and where we're headed with this. What's the concern that you guys are looking at as it relates to the baby boomers?
Well, there are 80 million baby boomers out there. They were, I think, the point of the spear, the first part of that demographic will turn 65 in January. We're going to have them for 20 years, assuming that they'll live to age 85. Sure. Expected life expectancy is around 85. At 65, seniors are three times more likely to be injured or die from a fire. At 75, they're four times more likely to die from a fire.
And why is that, Chief? I mean, what's the reason?
The number one cause of residential fires, and incidentally, over 70% of the people that die in fires die where they live, at home. Now, home is supposed to be,
your safe spot. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. When you come home, even in baseball, you're safe, right?
Exactly.
But we're going home, where we aren't as safe as we should be. And, I think in terms of seniors, the number one cause of injuries and, fatalities in seniors is kitchen hazards. And, really what's happening there is, we're using surface units, and that's, again, the number one source of ignition.
And does it make a difference whether it's electric or whether it's a gas, surface unit? I mean, does it matter in terms of the fire?
Actually, the gas surface units are just a little bit more hazardous in terms of causing fires than electrical. Some of that has to do with the fact that you have an open flame.
Right.
And so there's a couple of things you should do. First, you never leave the room when you have a surface unit in operation. If the phone rings, turn it off. If you're simmering for a long period of time, set a timer so that it reminds you. The interesting point about all this is that the first material ignited in these kitchen fires is the clothing of the individual. And so that's another important point. Loose clothing that's used in cooking around a cooking unit, whether it be a stove or a surface unit, should not be worn. You should also keep the surface area clear of wooden spoons and mittens that are used.
Because a lot of people have like little, either a rag or they have like a mitten laying around or something really, really close.
Right, right. So, the range or surface unit is the number one cause and of these kitchen fires. The other interesting thing, that I should point out is you're using a skillet and the grease ignites, you have precious few moments. If you have a lid close, put on a mitten and slide the cover back over slowly and carefully. First, turn off the heat. It's very important because it'll go out eventually. Right. Grease has a very high ignition temperature. So if you turn off the heat first and then slide that top over using one of your protective mittens, it should put the fire out. But if the fire extends past that, say you were out of the kitchen and you didn't do what we suggested you do, and you come back in, the kitchen's on fire, it started to spread into the cabinets, you have precious few minutes to get out. It's probably best to leave.
People don't really realize how quickly fire will spread. I mean, is that true? I mean, people underestimate how quick a fire will kind of start consuming materials and how that smoke will start affecting a human being?
I'm glad you've asked that question. As we talked at the outset of our conversation, one of the things we do is fund research. And what we're seeing, we funded a study of fire growth patterns in the more contemporary furnishings versus legacy furnishings. What we have found is that we're reaching flashover, and that's the temperature at which everything in a room normally furnished with home furnishings ignites. We're reaching that in about 3.5 minutes. In legacy, it was running 7, 8, even up to 10 minutes. So when these fires start, you have precious little time to get out. In fact, we are advising now that the use of extinguishers, unless you have a witness ignition, if you walk into a room that is on fire, it's best to just get out, make sure everybody's out of the house, and dial 911.
When you say a witness ignition, meaning that you were in the room, you saw it happen, and then you're able to grab your fire extinguisher and put it out at the moments of it getting started. But if it's already consuming and starting to get up into the cabinets, a fire suppression unit that you have that is not going to be effective.
No, and we're using a lot of synthetics. Some refer to it as mechanical gasoline. You know, it's solidified gasoline because we are using a lot of synthetics, plastics, and such. And these materials emit huge volumes of smoke that is possessed with carbon monoxide, hydrogen sulfide, and hydrogen cyanide.
Okay.
All deadly materials that just one or two breaths and you're unconscious.
Really? Wow.
So the point is...
So people don't even realize how dangerous smoke is when you're inhaling that stuff, and they think it's just smoke, it'll come out your system, but you're inhaling a whole bunch of toxins that can get into your system very quickly, knock you out, and then the fire starts consuming you.
Over 90% of the fire deaths are caused by smoke inhalation. If you're in bed, and let's go back to 3.5 minutes. If you're in bed, your smoke alarm goes off, you smell smoke, you have less than 3 minutes to get out.
Wow.
So it's really important that you have exit strategies for your home, exit plans. We should have two ways out. Make sure that you know how to open the window and get out. If you don't have a roof that you can get out on, you should have one of these escape ladders. You can buy it at almost any home supply store. You need to practice those home exit drills at least once a year. We just finished Fire Prevention Week, and our theme was smoke alarms, a sound you can live with. They won't make a sound if you're using battery-operated smoke alarms and you don't change those batteries out every year. We know they don't make a sound if the battery's dead.
Right.
So we want you to have a smoke alarm on every level. And again, if they operate in, most of the deadly fires occur between midnight and 6 a.m. in the home. And
why is that, Chief? Is that because like what you mentioned about somebody is smoking, they fall asleep, or somebody's cooking late and they fall asleep? I mean, why is that hour, those critical hours?
Well, we are not, of course, we're not up, so that we don't notice the fire in its incipient stage. That's part of it. Some of it can be, the top causes of fire are smoking and matches, kitchen fires, as we talked about. We may have left something on the stove and went to bed or went to sleep. It could be the next, top five is electrical hazards. It could be that, and then heating units. But the primary reason for all this is that we're not awake and we don't have the recognition, the fact that a fire has started, so that we can take whatever precautionary actions that we should be taking, depending on the type of incident. And if you'd like to get into some of the other causes, we can.
Definitely. And you mentioned that the importance of the smoke alarm, and I see different campaigns about people encouraging smoke alarms and even, was it carbon monoxide alarms? Why is that so? I mean, I know it's important to alarm people, but for you, it's even taking more of a critical role of saying we got to make sure that everybody has a smoke alarm.
Well, as we said at the outset, 70% of the people that are dying in fires die at homes. Actually, almost 80% of the injuries occur in the home. I should point out, we're going into the three most hazardous months of the year, December, January, and February, are when most, actually about 45% of the fire fatalities and injuries occur during those 3 months. Well, in the Northern Hemisphere, that's because it's cold, right. People are inside, there's more activity.
Right.
You know, the kids can't play outside and those kind of things. But the smoke alarm, you have, as I say, you have very precious few moments to be alerted. And
are you recommending like several smoke alarms? I mean, depending on the house, or depending on the square footage you have in an apartment. I mean, what's your recommendation?
Well, we want at least one working smoke alarm on every level. Most fires occur in the kitchen, number one, furnace room, number two, and then three family rooms or recreation rooms. And of course, the reason for that is fireplaces. And in many cases in these family rooms, we're using alternative heating devices. And so that's the reason for that. You mentioned carbon monoxide. That is a problem, especially during the winter months when we close up the house.
Right.
Homes are much tighter now. What are some of the precautionary things you can do there? First, make sure that you have a professional come in and look at your heating unit every year. That's what a lot of the causes of these issues. Will raise their numbers of incidents. Two, fireplaces, make sure you have that the damper and the chimney has been cleaned properly, depending on how much you use it. If you're using an insert, it should be cleaned every year because an insert reduces the flame and it's less complete combustion, so it creates more soot.
Right.
So you got to clean it out. Three, if you never use a charcoal grill inside, got to use it outside. And I guess, the last issue is the gas-fired hot water heaters. They're relatively safe. They are. But that has a flue also that will deteriorate over time. So, you can have someone come out and look at your heating unit, but... the fellow who does, or the man or the woman who comes out, the service person who comes out and looks at your heating unit won't necessarily check that hot water heater flue. So let's make sure we check that. And then carbon monoxide detectors, again, should be on every level, but most assuredly in the furnace room or in that area where your furnace is located and of course, near your stove where, we're using heating devices, so cooking devices.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk more about fire. Chief, you're giving me a lot of stuff to think about when I go home today to take a look at some stuff, and I think a lot of us should be thinking about this. We're talking about the United States Fire Administration. I have with me the acting fire administrator, Glenn A. Gaines. I call him Chief Gaines. We'll be right back after this break. We're talking about the U.S. Fire Administration on Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You should never be constrained by your network. That's why government agencies turn to Avaya Government Solutions and Shared Technologies. Their data networking portfolio offers reliable, secure, end-to-end solutions needed to fully recognize the power of real-time communications. Solutions from Avaya and Shared Technologies deliver innovative technology, energy-efficient hardware, and improve the effectiveness of business by creating a simpler, more effective network. The future of data networking has arrived. Learn more at avayagov.com/GSA2010.
Attention AFGE members, did you know you have free access to all federal government job listings at your fingertips? Through AFGE's partnership with AVIEW Technologies, you can view all available jobs, apply online, and be notified when a position of interest to you becomes available. View your application progress online 24/7. You'll even get information to make you a better job applicant. Simplify your next career move with AVIEW Technologies. Log on today and check out current job openings at avuecentral.com. That's avuecentral.com.
Everybody and their brother, sisters, and second cousins are saying they can save you money on car insurance. Well, who listens to brothers, sisters, and second cousins? GEICO's been saving people money on car insurance for over 70 years. That's longer than most companies have been around. That's probably longer than you've been around. Believe me, when it comes to saving you money, this isn't GEICO's first time to the rodeo.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Hartfields at Bowie celebrates seniors every day. Why? Because they're the greatest generation ever. Their hard work and belief in the future created better lives for all of us. If you have a senior in your life, thank them for the valuable ways they shaped our world. This message from the caring staff at Hartfields at Bowie, providing assisted living for many years. Call 301-805-8422. That's 301-805-8422 for Hartfields at Bowie. Remember, no one wants to grow old alone.
There's a new show in town for the connected, curious, and innovative. Chris Dorbeck hosts the brand new Dorbeck Insider, weekdays from 3 to 7 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Only Chris has the energy and the Rolodex to bring you inside the decision-making that changes your workday. He challenges conventional wisdom by asking his high-profile guests about what worked and what didn't. The Dorbeck Insider is information sharing on the radio in the government 2.0 world. The Dorbeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're having a really, really interesting conversation about fire, and we're talking about the United States Fire Administration. I have with me the acting U.S. Fire Administrator. I call him Chief Gaines, but he's Glenn A. Gaines. He's the acting U.S. Fire Administrator for the United States Fire Administration. Chief, we've been talking about number of causes. We've been talking about the baby boomers. We've talked about those who are turning 65 and older. You know, they're very, very at risk for fire. Smokers at risk for fire. You mentioned one thing while we were over the break that I did not know about at all, that clothes dryers can be is one of the top five fire starters. Why is that?
It's really up to us, the consumer. Once we receive the dryer, we have to make sure that we're cleaning out the lint trap. And then at least once every 3 months to 4 months, we need to make sure that dryer vent is cleaned out. Mm-hmm. You can purchase these brushes that you can get back into the vent and clean it out. In fact, 81% of the fires that occur in these dryers are caused by a buildup of lint. And basically what happens, the dryer is not able to exhaust this heat that's being created either by gas or electric. And so it builds up and ignites the contents of the dryer.
You know, we were talking and you mentioned about, you know, that last storm that we had where 52 inches of snow, major impact on the D.C. area and really a whole East Coast and a lot of areas, Midwest and everything else. You mentioned a lot of fires were started during that time period by clothes dryers.
Right. The snow built up, and sometimes, I think in some cases, we may have even shoveled snow over the dryer vent on the outside of the home. And so, of course, that served as the same similar mechanism to build up that heat. So it caused a number of fires here in this region, primarily because it was such an anomaly. You know, we just don't have this kind of things. So we do need to think about that. And of course, the dryers were being used a lot. Folks were outside. They'd get wet, either shoveling snow or out playing in the snow and then come back in.
And so for people in homes, because a lot of times you've got a basement, your dryer's in the basement, or a lot of times apartments. I mean, so your vent is kind of at the level where the snow is. You need to make sure that if in those situations, you keep that vent open.
Exactly. Another interesting thing that happens to birds, we went away on vacation for a couple of weeks, and we came back, we had a bird's nest in our vent. So it's really important, you know, when you're out and about, just take a peek at the dryer vent, make sure that clapper valve is operational. And again, I reiterate, it's important to clean out that hose also. Every so often, we need to clean out that hose to make sure that these are ribbed hose lines. I want to switch subjects just for a second. I was talking to the fire insurance senior managers up on Wall Street recently, the adjusters. And,
People like State Farm, Prudential, and other places like
right,
that.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Their two big risks are, of course, fire, but it's also these washer hose lines rupture. It's one of the number one causes of damage in homes. So if you have a washer in your home, and a lot of apartments don't, but if you do, make sure that you change that hose out every so often. And it's really recommended that you you use the hose line that it has the metal, the wire ribbing,
right,
to reinforce the hose line. It's right. I know we're off the fire subject.
No, but this is important, you know, stuff in terms of just kind of keeping your health. And while we're on the topic of insurance, you know, I mean, it, you know, it comes to mind that, you know, renters, you know, if you're in an apartment at a home, you kind of control your own home, so to say. And maybe that, you know, if a fire does happen, it's isolated. But if you're in an apartment, you know, you can't, you may be fire safe, but your next door neighbor may not be fire safe. And that kind of brings to mind that you need to have some renter's insurance. How critical is that?
Oh, it's extremely critical. Unfortunately, you know, the folks that really should have insurance, and those are folks that really can't afford to buy a home, especially right now, during the current economic downturn. They are the ones that least can afford, to experience a fire. Now, the renter's insurance is relatively inexpensive. And, I would encourage all of our listeners who are renters, look into it. You're going to find out that, you can purchase, this renter's insurance, at a relatively low rate. We encourage you to shop around. I also encourage folks to call local. You can access international organizations, but talk to your local person.
Get somebody who you know.
Right. If at all possible.
Yeah.
Somebody in the neighborhood that sells, that represents one of the major firms. And they all, you know, provide, this level of care. The homeowners, they're usually forced to buy and fire insurance by the bank or the loaner, company that is loaning you the money. Look, if you're going to borrow money from us, we've got to protect our investment along. So, what I would encourage, you to do is once you pay off that loan, for those of you that are fortunate enough to do so, don't let that insurance lapse. And, the last piece for, homeowners is that, you should take a critical look at, you know, what's protected and what's not. There's an old saying, there's never any good news in small print. In this case, it's really, really important to read the small print. You know, replacement insurance is probably the best way to go for replacement. But if you can't afford that, then certainly you want to do a video. It's very easy to do video inventory now. Just walk around your house, shoot a video, and then put that in a separate location, either in your safety deposit box, or send it over to, you know, one of your family members, so that if there's a fire, you can justify what contents were there. Pretty important stuff.
Outstanding. I know, you know, is there any program out there right now that if a person is, you know how with car insurance, we have exceptional drivers. So now a lot of car insurance places are, you know, reduce your premium, reduce certain rates. Is there any program out there that is for people who are fire safe?
You know, there isn't. We are, we're looking at opportunities to raise that as an issue. The insurance industry looks at, really the delta between property value and property loss. And, that's called the fire loss ratio. And they apply insurance rates based on that standard. What we are proposing is, are looking at is that if I as an individual have a history of being fire safe and I meet certain standards, you know, critical things like I have a smoke alarm on every floor, I have carbon monoxide, you know, I practice good fire safety, I have my furnace inspected every year and the flu, all those kind of, there are four or five best practices. If I do that, I should get a lower fire insurance rate than the, you know, the rest of my region or state, depending on which insurance company. So we are proposing to do that, to seek, create that program and then seek agreement from our
Are the insurance companies seeming to take a liking to, you know, that? I mean, it would definitely create a new public education campaign and say, listen, I mean, it's a win-win situation. You know, we have less fires. We have to pay out less premium. We have to pay out less money. It sounds like a win-win situation across the board.
Well, I think it is. And I think to some extent, a few of the insurance companies already do that. They'll ask you certain questions and they'll give you discounts. We just want to take that to the next level.
Sure. going into the rest of your organization, because, you know, I want to kind of get into that, and we'll go into it into the last segment. You guys deal a lot and get the National Fire Academy. I mean, in this program, you know, what is the National Fire Academy about? I mean, what are you teaching? Is it leadership? Is it new ways to fight fire? I mean, what goes on in the academy?
Well, we know that I like to say Homeland Security begins around the corner at your local fire station or your rescue squad. I feel secure at home because I know there's a fire station not far from me, and I know if I dial 911, they're coming. And so the day-to-day Homeland Security issues are, you know, the security is provided by the local fire department. What we are focused on up there and are really three things. First, do what you do best. We bring in the next generation middle and upper middle level managers who will assume the role of chief executive fire officers and EMS leadership into the future for the next 10 to 15 years. And so we look at best corporate management practices in terms of managing people, managing programs, technology, and the corporation, the enterprise. These programs that we present to them are accredited by over 23 colleges and universities across the country, so that you can achieve credit hours either toward a bachelor's or a master's degree. We have an executive fire officers program, which you must already have a bachelor's degree program to enter into this executive fire officer program. We just recently, I'm happy to say, received accreditation toward a master's degree in public administration.
I have with me the acting administrator of the United States Fire Administration, Glenn A. Gaines. I call him Chief Gaines. And we're talking about the U.S. Fire Administration, and we're talking about fire prevention and everything else. We'll be right back after this break on Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight, brought to you by Cisco.
Building secure systems in the future will be much more than simply locking down electronic fortresses. Here's Jeanette Wing, chair of the Computer Sciences Department at Carnegie Mellon University.
The problem is greater than just securing systems. The problem is what I would call trustworthy computing, which includes reliability, security, privacy, and usability.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
What if I said you had the power to speak Chinese or to dream in French? What if you could even read in Italian? You'd be skeptical, right? What if I could prove it to you with a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone, one that unlocks your ability to learn any language on Earth? Introducing the all-new, more powerful Rosetta Stone, the only language learning program that literally awakens your natural ability. And for the first time ever, they're inviting you to experience their groundbreaking program, absolutely free, with a free demo CD-ROM. Call 1-800-600-6621 and request yours. Developed around the way you naturally think and learn, Rosetta Stone teaches you your new language with the tools you already have. And now you can experience it for free. Awaken your natural language learning ability today with a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. Call 1-800-600-6621 and request yours. Rosetta Stone, your natural ability awakened. That's 1-800-600-6621.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
20,000 feet over Kandahar, fuel running low, ground troops need air support. The solution? EADS North America's KC-45 aerial refueling tanker. Offering the most range, fuel, and payload, it's the only tanker in the Air Force competition that's flying now when our troops need it. EADS North America will put 48,000 Americans to work building the KC-45 in the U.S. Proven capability, ready now. EADS North America's KC-45. See it at kc45now.com.
Paid for by EADS North America.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind. But are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in home monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has over 40 years of industry-leading experience. Ackerman monitors your home from its UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Ackerman was recently recognized as the National Dealer of the Year from over 30,000 companies. Get the most qualified professionals monitoring your home for just $18.95 per month. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. Federal employees, call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service. Call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having an interesting conversation about fire. I'm talking about the United States Fire Administration, and I'm talking to the acting U.S. Fire Administrator, I should say. He's Chief Gaines. I call him Chief Gaines because he's a former chief at Fairfax. But he's an acting U.S. Fire Administrator, and we've been talking about the agency, what it does, about fire prevention, and everything else. Chief, over the break, we've been having these interesting conversations over the break. But, you know, we mentioned about the Fire Academy, the master's programs, and everything else. But in terms of disaster, you know, you mentioned, you know, Katrina, other things like that while we're talking over the break. Firefighters are kind of the first line of defense in terms of any kind of disaster or anything else that's going on. What are you guys doing in order to kind of prepare firefighters to respond to the number of things that's going on, earthquakes, hurricanes, and everything else that's happening, even terrorism?
Exactly. Well, the first thing, we as federal employees charged with ensuring that we prevent, mitigate, respond to, and recover from major disasters is to recognize the fact that the firefighters are there now. They're going to be there during the incident and be the first on the scene, and they'll be there during the recovery. So they are a force that we should invest in. And so one of the things we do is to ensure that they are aware, first of all, of what federal assets are available to them, how to access those, what are some of the best practices in terms of early intervention, and I must add preparedness in terms of reducing the impact of these disasters. Natural disasters occur all the time, and the interesting thing is, it's so diverse. What occurs out in the west part of this country, of course, is a wildland-urban interface challenge. An interesting statistic is only 17% of the wildland-urban interface has been developed. And our concern is we got these baby boomers coming along. They're going to retire, and at least a portion of them would like to put have their dream cabin out in the woods. Sure. And so when these wildfires occur, there are theories that the woods needs, you know, burning of some of this timber is not a bad thing, but it is when you put people and property in its way. So as we begin to populate the wildland with homes and those kind of things, it creates a risk that has to be dealt with. And there are a number of things that can be done, and the firefighters can play a major role on that. Number one, they can make sure that there's defensible place and space between the wildland, I should say the woodland, and their home. And there are zoning laws that can be created that create separation and, you know, just routine maintenance and a lot of preventive measures that they can take.
And are you advocating that, fire, you know, in different cities and different places, that the firefighters become a lot more proactive, that they're out kind of, you know, checking out these certain areas, you know, that they're out and about and kind of saying, oh, you know, you guys need to put more of a protective barrier right here from the woodlands. Is that what your agency is advocating?
Absolutely. In fact, we support that in a number of ways. We have off-the-shelf programs. One of the most important things firefighters can do during the downtime is to go visit their constituents. I mean, they have the right to walk up, knock on the door, and just share information. You know, there are no laws involved. This is about sharing information, things that will make the homeowner safety. Do you have a working smoke alarm? And many fire departments, through agreements with a lot of our private industry, will provide free smoke alarms to those who can't afford them.
Chief, you got so much stuff. We're going to have a part two. We ran out of time. It always goes too quick. We've been talking to Glenn A. Gaines. He's the acting fire administrator for the United States Fire Administration. I call him Chief Gaines. He's given a wealth of information that I think all of us can use, things for us to think about, Chief, and maybe in the next couple months or so. I definitely want to have you back. I want to thank you for coming on Fed Access.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The European Council on Foreign Relations says the European Union has to establish a three-way dialogue with Russia and Turkey to deal with conflicts and promote stability on its eastern flank. The study says the current system failed to prevent wars in Kosovo and Georgia or a disruption to Europe's gas supply. The study also said Russian, German, and French leaders were moving in the right direction, but the wrong participants were involved. I'm J.J. Green.
Can you imagine the frustration of trying to repair a million-dollar piece of equipment only to discover the part you need cannot be found anywhere because the manufacturer no longer exists? At Airink, they have the ability to recreate the most complicated part down to its smallest component, keeping that expensive piece of equipment running as if it was brand new. For more information, log on to www.arinc.com.
Now it's third and seven for the Mets. Dobbs, Connor to the short side right. Ricky fakes the pitch and keeps, and he bounces it outside of the five, cuts it back inside with a dive, and a touchdown for Navy!
Tradition never graduates, so mark your calendars to spend the day in Annapolis with Navy football Saturday, October 16th. Be there in Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium to cheer on the midshipmen as they take on the SMU Mustangs. Kickoff is at 3:45 p.m. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com. Order today and join us for a game day atmosphere like no other. Enjoy fall in Annapolis and see quarterback Ricky Dobbs lead the midshipmen as they hit the gridiron to take on SMU Saturday, October 16th at 3:45. Don't miss out on all the great Navy football action where tradition never graduates. Order tickets today. Call 1-800-US-4-NAVY or visit NavySports.com. That's 1-800-US-4-NAVY, NavySports.com.
The Internet. It's indispensable. Without it, how else would we perform crucial functions like shoe shopping, watching videos of a cat playing the piano, emailing inspirational anecdotes to our 1,000 closest friends? But despite these awesome utilizations of information technology, at Kaiser Permanente, we've found some better uses, like being able to securely manage your own health online 24/7, emailing your doctor's office, checking most test results, reviewing meds, making routine appointments, not to mention a vital digital connection between you, your doctor, and everyone on your team. Could it be that making total health smarter, more efficient, and more convenient is the very sort of thing for which the Internet was intended? Maybe, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't fit in a cat video now and then. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we want you to live well, laugh well, and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated.